one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It was Christmas Eve when old Boudreaux gathered his family in his pick-em-up truck. He headed to the Episcopal Church, and when he got there, there was nary a parking spot to be had, so he continually circled the block. Finally, realizing he was going to be very late, he stopped in front of the church, bowed his head, and prayed, "Lord, I am not a good churchgoer, but have pity on me. If you give me the gift of a parking space right now, I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll be a tither, and I promise, I'll give up gambling and my Jacques Daniel forever." And a miracle happened. Right in front of him, a parking space appeared. Boo bowed his head and said, "Oh Lord, thank you for listening to me. But never mind, I done found one on my own." Gifts. We like gifts. And Christmas Eve is that magic time for gifts. Children kneel under a lit Christmas tree. They shake carefully wrapped Christmas packages, trying to figure out what could this gift be. Perhaps it's a new doll or a train set or a video game. And then, of course, we adults get in on the fun, too. Christmas Eve is that gift that happens once a year in the middle of life. We smile a little bit easier. Life seems to be a little lighter. Our problems a little further off. Even the air smells different this night, does it not? And our memories are sharpened. We recall Christmases past with family and friends. Christmas Eve is that time of the year when we really do think of others. A poor person stops us in the parking lot, asks for a few bucks for food, and for some strange reason, we're more likely than not to give them money for food on this evening. Our hellos and our handshakes are warmer. It's all because it's Christmas Eve, a special gift when we hear the story of the very first Christmas. It was a gift that came from a backwoods country, small, dusty town, dark and stable, a gift that was placed in a manger on a bed of straw, the same straw that only an hour before had farm animals nibbling on it. But it was Christmas Eve, the first Christmas, and it was time to open the gift of the night. Now, it wasn't to be opened by kings or queens or even priests in the temple, not even the owner of the stable. It was to be opened by lowly shepherds, those that were not considered particularly righteous. And an angel appeared and told the shepherds, "There is a gift waiting for you. Go, see your gift." And the shepherds went, and they went down on their knees, and they saw their Christmas gift wrapped in swaddling clothes, placed under the tree of Jesse, as prophecy had foretold. And they must have felt like we feel tonight, at peace, having hope, embracing love. By early morning, the shepherd's gift had been unwrapped, and we too will unwrap our gifts. By this time tomorrow, it will be done. The shepherds departed, their lives changed forever. I wonder, will our lives be changed forever too? Once we unwrap our Christmas gifts, take the paper and put them in bags, put on our new clothes, take our old clothes and put them away in the closet. Once all the new toys have been played with and the winter blanket has been put away, will our lives change? The answer for most is no. Our world returns to the normal. Whatever normal happens to be for us, that's what we return to, a normal life. We go back to school or housework, or we just live. We go back to our problems, back to our homes, and soon the rain will come this week. Next month, the wind will blow, and Christmas Eve will be packed away. It doesn't have to be that way. Like the shepherds that unwrapped the gift in swaddling clothes, we can unwrap the gift of Bethlehem not once a year, but every day of our lives. If only we would see this first Christmas Eve as the eve of the rest of our life. If only we would try to be the better people that we are at this moment. If only we would put others first. If only we would try to love a little easier. Smile a little more often. Opening a gift every day means we come home every day and we thank God for everything we've received, even for a parking space that suddenly opened up. You see, opening a Christmas gift every day makes us Christmas people, people of the incarnation. But how? Just how do we do that? 100 years ago, there was a wonderful Presbyterian minister, Henry Van Dyke, and he talked about keeping Christmas. And he answered the question, how do you keep Christmas every day of your life? Let me paraphrase what he said. Are you willing to forget what you have done for other people and remember what other people have done for you? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you able to ignore what the world owes you and think what you owe the world? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you ready to close the book of complaints against the management of the universe and look around you for a place where you can sow a few seeds of happiness? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to stoop down? Consider the needs and desires of little children. To remember the weakness and the loneliness of people who are growing old, then you can keep Christmas. To stop asking, how much do your friends love you? And ask, how much do you love your friends? Then you can keep Christmas. And are you willing to believe that love is the strongest thing in the world, stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than death? Then you're able to keep Christmas. But here's a secret. If we want to keep Christmas every day, we can't do it alone. And that's the amazing part of the gift of the babe lying in the manger. It wasn't a gift meant for one person. It's meant to be shared by many. So if we are to keep Christmas each and every year, each and every month, each and every week, each and every day, we must share the Christmas gift with others. Take that blanket out of your closet. Give it to the poor. You have new clothes. Why not give the old clothes to the poor? Don't pass the bell ringer at the mall. Don't nod your head. Put a buck or two in the kettle so others can be fed. When the destitute walk in these doors, welcome them with love, because Christmas is meant to be shared. There's a wonderful homilist, King Duncan, who tells this story about gifts. It's a true story. Alan Abramsky and his family in Roanoke, Texas, were host to a rabbi from Russia at Christmas time who was participating in an exchange program. Being typical Texans, they took him to a Chinese restaurant. Throughout the meal, the rabbi spoke excitedly about the wonders of North America, comparing it to the bleak conditions of Russia. Now, when they had finished eating, the waiter brought them a check and presented each and every one of them with a small brass Christmas tree ornament as a seasonal gift. They all laughed when Abramsky's father pointed out the ornaments were stamped "Made in India." But the laughter subsided. They saw the rabbi was quietly crying. Concerned, Abramsky's father asked if the rabbi had been offended because he had been given a gift for a Christian holiday. The rabbi smiled, shook his head, and said, "And yet, I was shedding tears of joy to be in a wonderful country in which a Buddhist gives a Jew a Christmas gift made by a Hindu." And that is what God wants from the babe in the manger. We are to share this gift of love with Buddhists, Jews and Hindus, believers and non-believers, the rich and the poor. And that gift is ourselves as we give an outpouring of love and grace and understanding. The Christmas gift is a gift of hope and peace and love. It's not meant for one person. It's meant for the world. And you are meant to present that gift to others. It wasn't meant for just the shepherds. It was meant for the world. And God does not want you to open that gift once each year. He wants you to open it every day of your life. God, we thank you for your presence. May each eve of this coming year be a Christmas Eve for all of us, each and every one. Merry Christmas, everybody.